Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of A Pre-Match. Can I get the rest of the finish of the sentence for me, please?
Pre-match, Muti.
Muti, Muti.
That's what exactly what we need Arsenal at the moment. Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
We need some strong stuff.
What's up, gentlemen? We've got in the house the coach Denga, Wanga Denga, in fact. We've got Matthias Matthew Levy, Daniel Levy's right hand man. Only because that's where he puts his whiskey bottle on your head. Am I right there, Matt?
Yeah.
And then we have the King of the North, Coach Nick. We've got two coaches in our midst. Matt, how does that make you feel?
Me?
Yeah. You've got two coaches on the panel with you.
Yeah, I feel great. I don't know how they feel about that. You know, the two proper coaches and me, you know. They probably be like, who's this guy? What's he doing here?
Tell us how you really feel. Oh, man.
Yeah, so I'm glad to be back, guys.
I'm glad to be back. Yeah. It's been a while.
I was going to say, I haven't seen you. It feels like ages, man.
Yeah, I was pulling a bit of a Harry Kane there, not turning up for training. I thought I'd take an extended summer break. I mean, rumors of my transfer have been greatly exaggerated. I am staying with Goal Lounge. Obviously boyhood club. I've been here since the start. I came up through the ranks here, so no need to move on for me. The smallest honor of Goal Lounge.
Matt is lucky they honor ranks, because otherwise
would be, yeah, if there was a bench, I'd be on it.
So you've got the sort of problem where, you know, sort of silly season comes around and, you know, the head coach doesn't really want you, but no one else really wants you as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, I've got the opposite of Harry Kane syndrome. Claudio's stuck with me. He's been trying to fob me off to other channels. He's been dressing me up and sending me for you know, doing screenshots with other people. It's just not working. No one wants me, so here I am, back on the show.
Desperate times. Desperate times. Call for desperate measures. Talking about desperate times, gents. I don't know what this means. The only cities active in the market seemingly at the moment are Manchester and London. But we might as well start with the first big news. I think it's come out like an hour or two ago. Grealish. How do you pronounce that, Matt? I need to go to pronunciation school. But Man City Medical. This looks like a $100 million deal across the line. That's going to happen.
It's pretty much hectic. It's crazy. Yes, I used to joke around saying people are worth $100 million. Even Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't worth $100 million in his day, and he was... Certainly, he could have been, you know, even back then, he could have been sold for that much.
Yeah.
But now, yes, it's interesting to see how it's changed. They're flipping off.
I think definitely worth it. For me, what's quite funny, if you look at Man United themselves, Man City, in terms of what they're spending, it just shows you how the Premier League has sort of pushed under the carpet this whole Super League debacle. And their small fine of, I can't even remember what it was, is just a slap on the wrist. And that just shows you that the big six, if you want to call it, are just as strong as ever. And in hindsight, what's actually happened is, it's quite pathetic. You know, they should have actually got punished proper.
This guy is full sour grapes there from the Saudi bid not going through. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Grealish is a fantastic player. We've talked before about the nonsense of the valuations. The truth is, you're worth what people are prepared to pay. Villa put that price tag on him. City have got the money, they've paid it, and they've got him in there. He's a fantastic player. There's a lot of question marks around whether or not City need another attacking midfielder. You know, like, look at what they've got already available to them. They could field two sides that could probably win the league now. There is that to it, but at the same time, it's similar to the Harry Kane situation. You know, how much is Grealish really going to win at Villa? Probably not much. He has an opportunity to go to City, guaranteed a lot more opportunities to win silverware. Can you begrudge him going? Same with Kane. Like, as much as it hurts me to see him go, can't really begrudge him wanting to do something different and have an opportunity. It's a career to them. They've got to look back on what they want to achieve, and the move makes sense for Villa as well, to a certain extent. Yeah, he's arguably the greatest player that they've had in a long time. But with £100 million, we've already seen Villa's done some smart work in the transfer market this season. I think they're setting themselves up nicely.
How does Man City spend 100 million pounds though? I mean, they had this financial fair play. So honestly, I haven't read the particulars.
By the end of the window, they probably would have gone over 200 million just for two players. But continue.
That's the question. Yeah, I haven't read the particulars about it, but now he's spending 100 million, and they're talking financial fair play, and they're going to pop another 100 million for Harry Kane. There's no one else in the Premier League. Well, maybe Man United. They can pop 100 million.
And Chelsea.
Let alone another 100 for another player. And it's no one's. There's not been any like warning to say like they can't do it or what. So in terms of the
fair play situation, I think to put it in a nutshell. Correct me if I'm wrong, boys. But from what I understand is you have to essentially make what you spend. Obviously. You know, they've already been caught out. Where there's smoke, there's fire. They were caught out, in the beginning of the season or the season before that?
It was the previous season, yeah.
You know, they had the lawsuit and they sort of won it. But if you look at it, there's probably something not right. And, you know, if you've got good auditors in your team, sort of cooking the books to make it look like you're doing all right, and you are able to spend that money, then, you know, this is going to continue. And City will continue doing this. Chelsea will continue doing this. And Man United will continue doing this.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, not that long ago, they used to talk about bringing back the salary cap in the league. I think it was back until the sort of the 60s or something, they used to have a salary cap. So players couldn't earn more than a certain amount. And then they did away with that so the players could earn a lot more. And what happened with that was that obviously then, because there was no salary cap, now wealthier clubs could buy up all the good players. And I remember there being talk, and I'm talking sort of trying to, would have been the early 2000s now, quite serious talk around bringing back the salary cap so that clubs like United and Chelsea couldn't just snatch up every player in the league. And the challenge with that is obviously these days players make a lot more money outside of football than their normal kind of their paycheck from their club because they get endorsements and all of that other stuff. So I don't think it was ever going to really last. But there is a need for some sort of conversation around, you know, you look at a club like previously it had been clubs like West Ham who'd grown all of these fantastic players, then lost them all and ended up never winning anything. In fact, they got relegated shortly after they produced the likes of Michael Carrick and Jermaine Defoe and Rio Ferdinand and him. And now you've got someone like Villa who've done a lot of hard work producing some a fantastic player like Grealish. And in generations past, they could have built a side around him and potentially gone on and challenged for the league and other honours. And now what happens is clubs buy up all the talent. And and there's sort of two sides to it. Because on the one hand, you know, you look at how well English clubs do in Europe and how well they've done over the last 20 years. And that's large part down to the fact that the big clubs concentrate all the talent amongst them. Which is good for English football, and you could, you know, talk about that and in relation to how well the national side is doing now and all that. But at the same time, it means that you'll probably never get fairy tales like, you know, clubs like Aston Villa winning the league, although Leicester pulled it off. So
it's interesting that Nick talks about the Super League because, you know, if we go back to the American model and you look at the Milwaukee Bucks now who have just won, they've won their league in the NBA there, and you've got Giannis, MVP. They've had him for a number of years. They grew that player. Obviously, they brought him in from Greece, etc. But the contracts in terms of how that league is structured is if you're a player playing for a club like that, and there's certain salary caps according to the players and the skill level. So if Nick is my best player, he qualifies to get X amount because he is that best player. But I'm only allowed to give three players in that team of that status that amount of money. Now, if he chooses to renew his contract after 3 years, he then qualifies for more money, because he will then be that player who stayed with the club for longer. But if he chooses to leave and go to another club, he won't qualify to earn the same sort of money.
Yeah.
And
so it's almost like a pyramid. It's a pyramid structure, essentially. Like you got majority of your players who are squad players are earning X amount, and
junior players. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you sort of build your way up, and you have your categories. Essentially, you have categories of salaries. But funny you say that, Matt. Like if we had to do that within the Premier League. I'm afraid that I don't think it would work if there was no buy-in from the rest of the big leagues, because you'll just have all the players they'll just go to Spain, Italy, and
100%.
And so you know, there's an opportunity if you look at it that way. There's an opportunity for football in general, And I would say, actually, for the clubs to actually make money, because it would be in the clubs more money, the club's best interest to maybe get this over the line, if they ever had to do that, where you get all the biggest leagues in the world to implement a salary cap, and then, you know, then the clubs benefit in terms of the revenue they get from broadcasting and the league. However, they might, like you said, lose sort of their grip on titles and challenging where they notoriously are.
And in a way, you'd also kind of be punishing the players because the clubs can't play fair. You know, you'd be saying, we're going to mark cap what you can earn as a player because we can't trust clubs to just do things sensibly and fairly, which is also maybe the wrong way to go about it, because, you know, people argue maybe the amount they get paid is unfair or whatever, but they've also got very short, very risky careers. A serious injury can end it and all of that. So,
as well.
Yeah, you know, most of them aren't going to play long beyond 32, 33 at the top level. And I think that's, so on, I would, as much as it may level the playing field and give us those fans of clubs who are not big powerhouses something to cheer about, I don't think it's a fair long-term solution. Realistically, they should just do financial fair play properly, and clubs should be forced to kind of live within their means.
The financial fair play, the irony behind that is, in essence, a salary cap that benefits the best sort of teams anyway. So if you're looking at Man United, they are earning far more than a West Ham or whatever, Brentford, as an example. So they are going to be the benefactors of such a scheme as well. Yeah. These are all schemes. And I suppose at the end of the day, like you guys said, the biggest losers would be the players who technically are entitled to be earning what they're earning, because they've got the argument that they are the entertainment, as opposed to saying, cool, we're going to be American, we're going to do this thing, clubs are going to make more money, players are just going to be an asset on the pitch, and that's where it ends. So that's an interesting one. Also, big shout out to Pumalani for being here yet again. Gentlemen, can we just get a little round of applause? Bang, 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 bang.
Hey, what up, Pumalani?
Hey, the man is here. The league hasn't even started, and he has stuck with us throughout the off season. This is why. this is why I don't even know where I'm going with this. What, he's our MVP marquee signing, so marquee signings deserve something. So what are you guys going to give him?
I'll buy him a beer next time I see him.
That's a lot of pressure all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say, don't all jump up at once. But the question I want to bring back to this whole Grealish and guys talking about the amounts. The fact of the matter is, say Man City do buy not one but two players for 100 million plus. Do they not then set a new precedent like they did previously? I mean, remember £50 million was a lot for a player. And then they started spending that much on right backs, left backs, and it became the common. And that's how they tend to balance the books. Oh, we only spent £50 million on a squad player. Should we be worried about that? That sort of conversation.
I think, I think you're correct. Actually, would they set a new one? I think it's just sort of confirming what they did last time, you know, just paying what the player's worth. Because there was another argument I heard on Sky Sports. The guys were arguing that because Jack Grealish goes for 100 million, how can Man City offer 100 million for Harry Kane? And you're saying that it's almost a spit in Harry Kane's face, you know? And I was like, but if you... it's 100
Harry Kane,
million.
Harry Kane, the cheaper Harry Kane goes, the better. It's worse for Levy. That's... spit in Levy's face.
No, he was saying it's disrespectful to Harry Kane. He said it has nothing to do with that. But his argument was crazy. I think he just wanted to sound controversial.
It sounds like the controversial character that speaks about conspiracies. I think he's perfect.
Yeah, look, I didn't listen to that. But I mean,
fits into your agenda perfectly, Claudio.
100%. But I think, if you look at 100 million, it's a lot of money. And I think that's what Man City are basically saying there, is that, look, it's 100 million pounds, you know. They give it to Jack Grealish. Look, we really want him. There's 100 million pounds. Aston Villa would take the money. I don't think they have any, obviously, they don't have a player like that. Harry Kane is one as well. 100 million pounds, it's a lot of money for Tottenham, especially in this, in the situation they're in. They could do with it.
It's also not like they're the first to have done this. Look how much Mbappe went for. Look how much, and maybe not 100 million, but big figures have been spent in recent seasons. You know, Arsenal buying Pep for 72, whatever it was. I think we're just in the market.
Push the knife. Do it nicer, deeper. Come on.
I don't mean it. That means Spurs spent 40 or 50 on Ndombele, like, and he's a good player. He's come, you know, he's had some good performances. Is he £50 million player? I don't know. The figures are almost meaningless now. They have gotten crazy. Yeah. It's not like, you know, it's not like buying a second-hand car and you can go look in the book, see what's it worth based on its mileage. That's not how football players work. It's all kind of subject to the nonsense of the market. But I think the risk of it is that there's potential for clubs to kind of buy everyone else out of the market. And I think that's where it becomes. And we were in that situation in the Premier League not so long ago. You remember only ever either United, Arsenal or Chelsea won the league for ages. And it was just like that. For you knew that was going to be who won the league, no matter what else happened.
Those are nice days.
Prehistoric days to some.
Yeah, and then we've gone through a period where it's been a bit more exciting. You had Leicester do it, Liverpool 1-1, which was sweet. And then, you know, Spurs came close even, which was unexpected. But I think we're now potentially going back into another cycle where it's going to become a bit of a closed shop at the top, which I think is a bit less fun for the league.
I think that's a harsh closed shop. At the moment, there's six to seven clubs competing. If that's a closed shop,
realistically, are there six or seven clubs realistically competing for the title, Claudio?
Well, at least for top four. At least for top four, it makes it exciting.
But what does that mean? What does that mean?
Three.
I mean, like, look, you've got
even you know, we'll be happy with a top four finish, but you're not gonna sit back one day and be like, remember when we finished fourth? You know, like that's not. Not, you know, like I'm not throwing my kid through the roof for that. And I think that's the thing. Like,
what are you throwing your foot through the roof for, bro?
He's in the ceiling. Just the feet dangling. But I think that's the thing here. Like, I do want Spurs to one day be able to win the league. Not that I expect them to win it this season. Like, you know, it's always. But I want to know that there's an opportunity for them to do a Leicester. And Villa are the next club who look like they might.
I think as long as Spurs win something, you should be happy. I don't know. The league, I think, might be reaching at this moment in time, considering the fact
that
Kane is.
But the thing is, it shouldn't be. That's the thing. It shouldn't be. The league should be attainable for every club that's in it. And at the moment, you really can't see far past Man City and maybe Chelsea or United or maybe Liverpool. You know, kind of those four are potentially.
Liverpool off. Put them right at the bottom of that list. I prefer it.
At least you're on the list, bro.
And I only did that because you're in the call, Claudio. Like, no, I think. No, but realistically, like, you know, outside of those four, who do you see seriously challenging for the league next season based on what's gone on? And that's not really fair. There are some really good sides in the league who deserve.
I've got a name, guys. Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Nick.
Do you guys not think, fast forward 10 years, or you guys actually give me the amount of years in terms of what you think, but do you not think everyone will eventually be on a level playing field? With the product
here's an example.
That the Premier League is, you know,
here's an example. Look at Aston Villa, right? They've just come in. Obviously, they're going to have 100 million to spend now based on this player coming. So they've been buying players. So whether or not they were spending before they received the money, regardless, the fact of the matter is being in the Premier League has given them X amount to spend. And if they shop correctly, they can be competitive. So that's the interesting thing. Yeah. And when you're talking about whether or not, you know, this can level out, I think at times that people are already trying to change the game. And obviously we're looking at it from the broadcaster's perspective, the greedy are trying to get greedier. But if the fans do what they do and they do what Matt says, like find a way to make it competitive, I don't see why not, to be honest.
So I don't know if what I was saying got misunderstood, but do you not think there'll be new owners, say it's 20 years, new owners, all billionaires, because the product of the Premier League is the product that everyone wants to be a part of.
But I was agreeing with you.
It won't get to that stage.
The opportunity to buy to buy Newcastle, like there is obviously. Are you guys hearing me? You're not hearing me.
No, we're hearing you. I'm listening.
We're hearing you and we're watching it.
So like the opportunity to buy the small club and give it the billions that owner thinks it deserves. You know, I think there's more and more of that creeping into the league. So I wouldn't be surprised in the next 10, 15, 20 years that you've got 15 billionaire owners that are willing to spend £100 million each window on a marquee signing.
But even then, it still becomes a closed shop of however many billionaire owners there are. Because billionaire owners aren't going to want to play in League Two.
This concept sounds familiar. Super League. Wonga, yeah. What did you want to say?
You know, like even that caps out. Even that caps out. And you end up, you'll still end up with the, because clubs like United and City and Chelsea and all them are going to have that head start of being able to stay ahead of that curve. They kind of got certain embedded structures that will see them through. So I don't think that just throwing more and more money into the situation is going to fix it, because there will come a point where that cuts off, and then there'll be clubs who are stuck in League Two who are never ever going to do more than League Two, and then fans of those clubs are just going to get bored and walk away, and then those clubs are going to die, and we're going to end up with, you know, sort of like the American football, the American basketball situation, where you've got a handful of really interesting clubs that everybody supports, and then no local club structures, and everyone's just like a feeder scheme to these kind of small number of elite teams, which I don't think is what football's meant to be about. Football's meant to be that romance of, sometimes I'm going to go watch my local club and it's going to be a load of really unfit dudes clogging about in the mud, and I don't have to go too far to see the one who made it out of there get into the local side, get promoted and then play, and now he's winning the FA Cup or something like that. That's the romance of football. That's what's great about football. And I don't think I don't think we'll get that by just bringing in more and more billionaires. I think we've got
to
keep that. I think that's
going to be very few and far between. I think that's long gone, that sort of concept. If you get one player, if you get a Grealish, I think this might be historic in terms of us seeing this player leave for Man City. Like, I think, I don't know, if we could document it, it's probably going to be one of the last sort of players that are going to do something. I mean, Chelsea might say otherwise from Billy Gilmore. But Wonga, what did you want to say? You wanted to touch on this.
Yeah, no, I think it's, look, if what Nick is saying, even if, let's say, they don't get all of the teams get billionaires, let's say another two or three get bought up, you know, it will eventually help those teams. I definitely think that will be a factor, you know, in getting more teams and competing, being able to compete. But I think at the end of the day, it does revolve around, I mean, the coaches, the coaching staff and the players you have. And I think with what we're seeing, like the progress in terms of development in certain countries, I think you will get, the Premier League is the best product at the moment. And I think you will get more teams coming in to that, obviously, and obviously you'll get better coaches, I think, coming into there a couple of years from now. And I think there will be more teams pushing for the top spot. I mean, now, the only reason I think, I think another reason is because we have poor players, but I think the other teams have stepped up a gear, you know, your West Ham have stepped up a gear. They're a good side. Not going to win you the league, but they've shown that, you know, they've stepped up. Leicester stepped up and they're staying there. You know, that's like, now that's six teams now, and other teams, you know, they've taken up positions. And I think more teams can push there. I mean, let's say Newcastle, it's theoretically they get their billionaire owner, they buy their players, they get a good coach. Man City's proven it. PSG have proven it. That can work, you know. So yeah, if they're able to do that, they one team competing again, taking another spot. Then another team just needs to follow the same model. So I think Nick is correct. You will see more teams coming into that, especially if the guys can make money off it.
But it's interesting what Matt had said, though. Like, you can only have so many, because then there is a risk of getting relegated. Because if everyone's at the same level, and then you've got 12 to 15 teams, all with the same budget, all incredible players, literally a World Cup every weekend from all over the world. And then, like, you might find a Liverpool fight in relegation on the last day with a Spurs or something like that.
You might also, like what you're saying now, Nick, you might also then get, like, because of that risk, you might then get people saying, okay, look, looking at that risk. And if they want a team, they'll go maybe to another league, you know, because then they've got, you know, the Champions League, and they can really compete there.
That's already happening. I think Man City, for example, have one or two other teams. They've got the feeder clubs, that whole My City. That's already what they're doing. That's where this game is going to go eventually, whether you like it, unless the fans, you know, keep protesting and doing things. Who knows what's going to happen? But I want to know, Jason Sergel saying congrats to City for winning the league. Is this his highest Liverpool sort of heart coming through that he's quite upset about it? Or is it his analytical observation? That's what I want to know.
Well, I agree with him either way.
I had a conversation with him today about you, Claudio, when you said you opposed Sterling when I said we'd take Sterling back. And he said, you're silly to think that we wouldn't take Sterling back. He says, Mane and Salah are leaving for AFCON for 6 weeks. So you need someone to back to come in, into the fold. And if Grealish is there now and Kane comes there, I don't know. Maybe there's no room for Sterling anymore. You know, he was a bit part player last season. You know, if I'm Liverpool, I'd take him any day of the week.
Well, yeah, I think any side in the league would take Sterling.
Yeah, like Arsenal.
Just throw your hat in the ring there.
So Claudio, so do you stand by what you said a couple of shows ago, or?
Look, I think based on what I was asking with regards to what Jason was saying in this comment below, whether or not it was analytical or it was spoken from the heart, I think definitely speaking, it was from the heart previously, given the fact that few factors weren't considered, like the AFCON and. So, you know, right now, if the guy's heading over for cheap, sure, why not? That's a good squad player to have. But still, look, Grealish going to Man City, someone's going to give. And I've already seen rumors that Silva might be heading the other way or might be heading somewhere else. Definitely not the other way, sorry.
Silva the other way.
Talking about the other way and talking about teams that could sort of potentially compete, Danny Ings to Villa, Cantwell possibly to follow. Obviously, they're trying to fill this gap of Grealish, but how much will they be affected, considering the fact they've already signed Buendia, a player that was heavily linked with Arsenal prior to that, snaked you guys, went to Villa instead. Also, sort of status of where Arsenal is. But as the Villa gents, where do you think they're going to potentially land up? Do you think this is a huge blow? Do you think they're going to be able to steady the ship? They've also lost John Terry as assistant manager.
Where did he go now? I didn't hear
him. I think he just left. I don't know. He probably has something lined up. I'm not too sure. But I think based on, you know, selling Grealish is obviously huge. And it does leave a big gap within terms of, you know, goal creation or chance creation, you know, sort of the flair that Villa have. It all generally comes from him. He wins a lot of fouls. Obviously a quality player. But if they are able to spend the 100 million, you know, honestly, you see a lot of teams sell players for big amounts of money and then the club don't spend it.
Awesome.
And so you know, it looks like they are spending. I don't know how much they would spend on Danny Ings and Cantwell. You know, I'd still think there'd be quite a bit more to spend. But, you know, after the season they had, would they need to change a whole lot? I wouldn't think so. I think Cantwell is an unbelievable player. I was very surprised no one in the Premier League, you know, snapped him up when they got relegated two seasons back, Norwich. And Danny Ings scored, banged in the goals again last season for Southampton. So, you know, you add his goals to Ollie Watkins' return last season, you know, you've got a good chance of probably improving their position of what, I think they finished ninth or eighth. And then Leon Bailey
from Germany, Bayer Leverkusen, Jamaican player, also was a couple of big teams. How did they manage a player like that?
Yeah. Apparently he's pretty good. I heard about him today actually from Jason.
But very good.
I also think Cantwell, he isn't Grealish, but I do think you'll see a Cantwell in England shirt very soon. If he has a good season with Villa and sort of tries to fill that void, of a Grealish, obviously big shoes to fill, but you know, doing the business already before they're selling him, they obviously knew he was on the way out. I wouldn't be surprised if they have another good season.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you're looking at Aston Villa, their problem, I mean, look, I'm just obviously the top level. You're looking at from the top. I'm looking at the league now. Aston Villa finished 11th. Arsenal scored 55 goals. Chelsea sitting fourth have scored 58
goals.
Sorry,
Wonga, I just want to stop there. I don't know, Matt, you know when you were in a corporate room or whatever and the guy's like, you know, we're going to talk high level. I like how Wonga's like top level and he's really referring to the teams in the top tier of the league. That's definitely a saying. Top level. This is a top level conversation, Wonga. You guys are only eighth on the log. We're talking top level here. Okay.
I'm still maybe I'm using the right word. I'm saying just looking at it from the, I mean, just from the face, you know, not going any deeper. I mean, just looking at the goals and stuff. Chelsea scored 58, only three more than Aston Villa, but they conceded only 36 and they finished fourth, you know. Yeah. And Aston Villa have scored 55, same as Arsenal, but they conceded 46. They conceded more than both teams and they ended up 11. So, I mean, there it's obvious. I mean, they've conceded too many goals, lost those games. But now they're getting more attacking options.
Can I maybe tell you the problem is there, Wonga? The problem is Tyrone Mings. He is the problem.
I don't think
he's good enough. A lot of people say he's a quality defender, but I don't see it. I've seen him being torn apart left, right and centre many times. And, you know, when Jolinton tears you apart, then you know you've got something shaky about your business.
But I think
he came out saying that, last week, that he went through some mental period, mental issues, because of the expectations that they had of him. But they said when he, I don't know if he did play, but they said when he, people were saying when he played, he actually played well, but he said definitely he said that the pressure got him. He did say that. He did admit to it. Yeah,
I think that
was interesting.
Whenever I think about that question of defense versus attack, the difference is that for a team to score a lot of goals, you can get away with having one or two really amazing players. Look at Spurs with Son and Kane. They scored all our goals, you know. They made everything happen. And if the other guys were a bit off, you know, Bergwijn had quite a lot of off days last season. Lamella was every now and then not quite up for it. Ali obviously was fairly, like, basically phased out for most of the season. But it didn't really matter. We were still scoring loads of goals. But it only took those two players. With defence, you need a really solid unit. You need your back five, keeper and defenders, all doing the right thing all the time. So it's really hard to single out a single player. I think Tyrone Mings is a solid player. I think he's a really good baller. He's only one part of what you need to work. I think where Villa are lucky, they do have quite a good squad that's been together for quite a while. And they probably only need one or two more to kind of, you know, we saw the same with Liverpool when Van Dijk came in, he completely changed their defensive outlook. And usually, sometimes that's all you need, just one player to come in and unlock the kind of the combinations that you need to make a defense really solid. And it might just be that Mings just needs someone alongside him. Because when you look to him, the first two games in the Euro where he was alongside Stones, he was really solid. He was, you know, he was in the right place. He was making good decisions. His distribution was really good. And I think it probably helped him to have someone as senior and as solid and as dependable as Stones next to him to give him that confidence to do the job. And it might just take something as simple as that at Villa to have someone alongside him that he feels he can depend on and he doesn't feel like he's the one who's got to take care of everything. And it might unlock it for them. But I agree with Wonga. I think if they tidy up their defense, they could go a lot further than they did.
But looking at that though, Matt, Spurs conceded 45, only one less than Aston Villa. So if you're looking at a manager, of course you can't base what you're doing this season, but you're looking at, you're saying, compared to the other teams, you've done, you know, okay, you know. All they had to do, let's say they could repeat that season, was score more goals, and they probably would have, I mean, in all the games, obviously, and they probably would have gone, been in a high position. So I think maybe he's taking that approach, maybe, and saying, look, maybe we have to bang in more goals, keep the defense, maybe we tweak it here and there, and they could, because the way that the players they're signing, it's not players they're signing just to stay mid-table.
Players. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not mid-table players.
Jason said something pretty interesting, yeah, and he says Villa were guilty of always looking for Grealish to get them out of danger, and I don't think that's incorrect when we see they weren't percentage without him playing. He says better starting 11 will improve the team tremendously. Only question is if all the signings can settle immediately, and I think that is fair, and I think that's going to be down to the coach, and possibly, you know, maybe we're going to see the role of John Terry leaving in the absence, you know, in terms of this sort of situation. But the question I want to ask, Grealish leaving to Man City, that's a marquee player, we know that, for Spurs and possibly for Man City. But the other one that we need to talk about, I mean, both captains, the one still attending training, and the other one not attending training, but both wanting to go to the same club, Kane skipping training, Max. I mean, is this not inevitable that the player will be leaving and, you know, testament to the character, the captain of your club? How do we feel about this as fans and, more importantly, as neutral?
I feel okay.
Not from Matt's side. You feel okay?
Well, he's not captain. He's not the club captain. Lloris is Spurs club captain.
He's the captain of England.
But you know, But yeah, look, it's a shitty situation. I think it's horrible that it's come to this. Whether or not it's inevitable, I really don't know, because it's obviously impossible to know what's going on behind closed doors. In terms of what's being said publicly, Spurs seem unwilling to budge. In their view, he's got 3 years left on his contract. They valued him at 150. City haven't met that, so they're not talking. Whether or not Kane has actually, I don't know, I haven't seen any official quotes from him where he said there is a gentleman's agreement, or whether that's something that people have been saying he feels. But if there is this gentleman's agreement in the thing, I don't know, that, you know, I've never seen such a thing, you know, like, it doesn't, if it's not in your contract, it's not really an agreement, like, you know. Yeah. So I think he could end up staying. I don't know if that would necessarily be great for him, because it's clear that his attitude's not there. He's not, his heart's not in it. And
Ryan, look at Ryan. I think Messi will be willing to take Kane's place at Spurs, in my opinion, if he leaves on a free contract.
Yeah, I reckon that's what's gone on. Messi's looked at another season of Barcelona, another season of winning La Liga and playing in the Champions League, and he's like, no, what I want are some cold Tuesday nights in Stoke, the occasional run out in the Europa Conference League, and Spurs are where I want to be.
And yeah, I thought Arsenal fans are delusional.
Matt, maybe you can give me a bit more info on this, but I was watching Sky Sports, I think 2 days ago, when this all sort of broke. I think it was the second day that he had missed training, and there was conflicting stories. And what made me think that this is the media just trying to, you know, obviously, again, where there's smoke, there's fire. But it seemed like the media were trying to make this thing a bigger thing than it was. And from what I understand is they say they might see him at training on Sunday, or at the ground on Sunday, simply because he arrived from the Bahamas, I think, this previous Sunday, which is in the orange zone for COVID, or for Britain. So he would need to, regardless of him missing training, he wouldn't be allowed to train because he had to self-isolate for a week. So I felt, when I heard that as a potential option, but it was quickly pushed under the rug by the reporter, because obviously that's not a spicy story. Him missing training and literally striking is more of a spicy story for the media. So I just sort of thought, there, do they really even know what's going on here?
Nick's saying all the things you want to be hearing, Matt. That's what he
says. I don't see it in
Harry Kane's nature to abscond from work. You know,
these are English fans defending their captain. That's what's going on.
But do you not think so, Matt? I think he would be mad enough to rock up and you know, Messi had the big row with Barcelona and the president, and then mended things, and I can't remember exactly what happened there, but I would think you at least show up. I think maybe he's just self-isolated.
I don't know. I think if that was the case, there would have been a statement very quickly from him saying, I've never skipped training. So I think there's some truth to, I think Monday he wasn't actually meant to be at training. He was meant to be doing certain tests, some of which were COVID related tests, kind of to check that stuff. I do think he's refused to return whilst he kind of negotiates his position. Whether or not that's solid advice or not, you know, remains to be seen. I think, you know, it's hard for me to say. I don't really know how these things work normally. I've never been in a situation where I've had to negotiate a departure from a club. So I don't know if that's a standard.
How you open the show, Matt. Why are you going back on what you're saying? If you go back on what you say, then the credibility is completely out the window on Goal Lounge. Guys, we fought for him to be on Goal Lounge TV.
Yeah, I had offers. I had interest from Europe, you know, but
hours,
I had to choose.
Hours and hours of negotiations.
It was hard. I had
Man
to stop
work.
I had to stop going to my previous job so that they'd let me sign on here. But I think it is a weird one, and I wouldn't guess at the moment which way it's going to go. I don't know. He might stay for another year. He might end up going. I think a lot of it is down to, look, Levy does good business. I think if City come in and say, fine, we'll pay the 150, he'll do it. And that might all be part of this. I don't know. So we'll see.
How much do you think?
I won't know until it starts. I wouldn't put it past Levy to refuse to sell Kane until after the first game of the season, because we play City on the opening day. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just holds on to Kane until the day after that game, and then he's like, "Cool, I'll do a deal now." So we get to play City without Kane, and then the rest of the league has to deal with a Kane-inspired City. But not that I don't know that that's a great tactic for us, because then we're going to have about 3.5 minutes.
It's not the worst tactic. Let's put it that way. I don't think it's the worst one. I also think it's easy for negotiations where Man City are there and speaking to Levy face to face. So I don't think it's the worst idea.
Yeah, you could invite them into the box while you're here. I have a special on Harry Kane. By now, you get this glowing pen.
The funniest
is, yeah.
Now, I was going to say, to answer the question you're about to ask, Matt, I would say Harry Kane, 100%. I agree with Levy, though, 150. You're giving Kane, you're giving him the league, so he must pay for it.
But I think, from what I understand, Levy doesn't want to sell him to a British club, from what I understand as well. They would rather
Yeah, he said that in the past. But I don't think Kane wants... I think Kane wants to win the Premier League. I don't think... Mm.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to.
English boy. So
I don't think anything else appeals to him. Yeah.
So. Guys, shout out to Aljun for joining us, Pumalani, as well as Louis and Ryan and everyone else. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, I was saying even with what Matt was saying about like saying that Harry Kane has also released a statement. He could be playing it around. You never know. Maybe he's doing what Nick said he's doing. And they said, no, don't say anything. Let them speculate. Maybe helps him in his position as well. Don't know how those guys think, maybe. But it also reminded me the same thing with Saliba. They also were saying now when he went back now to Marseille, people are saying, speculating. Well, they weren't speculating. It was obvious they were saying, no, the Arsenal don't want him. They're saying, they obviously were asking, what the heck, we need defenders, why are you not coming back? But apparently now he's come out saying that the idiot should have flippin' told us the date happened instead of wait a month later. But he said that he wanted to go. It was all about him. He said he wants to go. Arsenal wanted him to stay. That would have helped us, look at the situation differently. But now we're even panicking here, thinking that Arsenal's just letting go of everything, not understanding what they want to do. But it's a good sign for me that, they wanted to keep him.
But also, is it the players' jobs to keep us informed of what they're doing? Like, but they're changing jobs. They're going through a lot. They're dealing with stuff. And now they must also be like, oh, random schmo number 7 on Twitter screaming at my club. I better go in and just make sure he calms down. Like,
I hear what you're saying.
They're human beings. Also, like, if Harry Kane is doing this.
Schmo number 6.
Mesut Ozil did schmo. Mesut Ozil was... You see, Mesut Ozil, for me, like, Mesut Ozil... Was the was, like
yeah,
the
but
guy
he had a lot of time on his hands because he never played football for you lot.
Yeah,
he's
just
sitting there with Ganasaurus. He's like, hey, what should I tweet? I bet Ganasaurus will go tweet for him. Give me a phone. I'll do it with my T-Rex arms.
with his big thumbs. He's like, oh, fuck.
Hits it with his tail.
Okay. So guys, we do have a question here. There's a lot happening with Messi, possibly leaving on a free, etc. Do Man City spend this kind of money on Harry Kane? If the possibility, and I say possibility, we know if we really got to look at the probability and work out a percentage of Messi going to Man City, it's probably not as great as what I'm trying to, embellish over here. But the point is, if Messi is available, do Spurs, or should I say Man City, spend that kind of money on Kane?
Can you imagine that side? Man City did last season, and then you add Grealish, Messi, and Kane to that.
Would Messi be free? He's not. He doesn't have a contract.
He doesn't have a contract.
It's expired.
I think they would pay. I think in the end, they would. Asking my own question. I think they'd land up paying more just to get him on board on his contract than they would pay for Kane anyway.
I think they would go for Kane as well. I think what Man City, probably Pep Guardiola, I don't know if he has any say in it.
He needs the Champions League now.
Yes, he hasn't won that Champions League ever since he left Barcelona. So if Messi comes back, that's his key, probably will say it himself.
But definitely part of him also needs to be able to do it without Messi as well, because otherwise...
But I don't think he will.
But
I could see him saying that. I could see Pep going, no... I don't want Messi. I want to win it without him. I agree with you, Matt.
A win's a win for Pep, I think.
Well,
otherwise, he wouldn't have. He's been Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Man City. It's otherwise you would have, otherwise you probably would have gone to an Arsenal, goodness me, and that's a challenge. Yeah, it didn't take so long.
Messi to Arsenal.
No, I'm saying Pep Guardiola. If you wanted a challenge, you would have joined Arsenal.
Yeah, that's Man City. That's a humongous
More than a challenge, yeah, bro.
That's a real challenge. It's a test. Claudio Ranieri wins. He won the league with Leicester. That was a challenge. That's a challenge. You should have come to Arsenal. Then you would have had it. In fact, you can still come. It's not late. Then you'll have a true challenge.
Maybe that's why he sent Arteta, just to lay the groundwork, you know? Like, just find out where all the good, like, sweatshirt shops are in North London and just...
True there, never know.
right now we're looking. I mean, Spurs would never get this sort of player because too many clubs are interested in Haaland. But Jason making a valid point. That type of money, is it not better spending that money on Haaland because you've got the age on your side, you've got room for improvement, or I suppose from Man City's thing, it's just guaranteed they want to win the Champions League tomorrow.
I think Jason's referring, is he not referring to City spending the money on Haaland? Not Spurs.
Yeah, I am.
I think that's a more realistic one than Spurs. Yeah. Spurs could take all the Kane money and half their squad and throw it at Dortmund, and Haaland's still going to be like, no, thank you.
Yeah, look, Haaland would be definitely a good replacement. I mean, you saw the amount of goals he scored. I'm not sure the figure, but it's ridiculous. He surpassed a lot of people in a short space of time on that Champions League goal tally. So I think, it would be a better investment, obviously, if he wants to get bought. I think he's definitely a long-term player, Haaland. He's not going to just be a one-hit wonder. He's definitely going to be a solid player when he's reached his peak. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. All right. And a quick one. This has to be quick. Ideal club for Messi, if he doesn't stay at Barcelona, which club should he go to?
Man City.
I'd love to see him in the Premier League. I could say that I saw him in the Premier League. But if you give Messi to City, oh man, it's going to be filthy. It's going to be filthy.
I'd like to see City.
I just got to read this comment out. I don't know if Matt's seen it, but City on Haaland, and then Spurs would be lucky to get Wilson from Newcastle. Okay. gentlemen, one player we really need to talk about, and we need to talk about this player because Mosa has vehemently saying he does not want the player. He can stay where he came from. And I was saying this would be a good signing. And look, the money. Lukaku to Chelsea. They want to buy the guy. It looks like it's going
to
happen.
I don't understand. Why is Mosa saying no to that? I don't understand.
Look at the truck.
Like, is he saying that...
He's saying when he reverses, you hear...
I mean, what's Werner? Yeah, but he's a truck who scores goals. Werner's a sports star, but he, you know...
I was coaching my kids the other day. I was coaching my kids the other day. Like, 8-year-olds. Miss Claudia.
I'm still reversing.
Yeah.
So, I was coaching these 8-year-old kids, and I took a shot and I missed. And the kid laughed and he said, "Coach, you're Werner, you're missing like Werner." And I was like, "This is he literally called me you're Werner." I was like, "Wow." This is where it's gone to,
One season at Chelsea will make 7-year-olds call you that player's name if you're missing in front of goal. That's
ridiculous. And they catch on quick. That's what they associate with now. Lukaku. Lukaku, I've rated him. I just wanted to say that I also wanted to bring this topic up for Musa's sake. And it's nice. I don't know if it's true, but I heard the statement saying that Lukaku said, so you never know if it's true, that Lukaku said that he's actually trying to push the deal. He's asked to make it happen.
To accept it,
they've asked to accept it.
Because he's got unfinished business.
Yeah, but the question is, but I also hear that Inter Milan were also willing to let go of Martinez because they wanted to keep Lukaku. Maybe they reversed that option. I don't know. But I think maybe there's something also Martinez leaving as well.
But they're not going to spend money. And that's why Conte left. They're not going to spend and they would have to sell a few. So Yeah. There, you know, like.
But they can't also they can't also now let go of their two best strikers, and then next season they're not scoring goals. It's a tricky situation that they're in. They need the money. They need to compete next season. But they also need to give away their best players to keep them, to get more money. Thank goodness that's not my job at the moment. But well, if they paid well for it, I'll do it. But
guys, just thinking back, I mean, Man City. Just because of this comment that Arjun's saying, he said, if it happens, Pep going to stop the bull crap of saying we don't have any money. Do you not think that they're making to the final of the Champions League, the trophy they really wanted and coming short, is the catalyst that's just going, fuck this, we're tired of this shit, bam, here's the cash, let's get that. What do you need right now to get you what you want?
I think so. But it's still going to go shy. They need Messi.
What more do they need, though? Like, okay, yeah, Messi will add value, but like they had an unbelievable season and they fell short in a Champions League final where, you know, you guys know how finals are. Like, it's an occasion. You play the occasion and at the end of the day, sometimes the best team doesn't win. And, you know, that happens more often than not nowadays. So, like, what more can you add to that squad? Yes, they're all a year older. Yes, maybe Messi will add a little bit more spice, maybe a little bit more BMT. But they don't need much more, though, I'd like to think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they don't need a lot. They need a bit of luck on the final, you know. They and maybe not to overthink it. You know, his approach was slightly off on the final. I think we talked about it at the time. His setup was a bit weird. There was a holding midfielder. They left themselves too exposed and took advantage of that. And I think, you know, on a different day, we know City could beat any side they come up against. You know, add Messi to that, add Kane to that, add Grealish to that. Does it make a, you know, what? How much more is that going to give them? I still think they're one of the strongest, if not the strongest side in Europe at the moment. But the thing is, he's got to pull it off. I think he's got to get the Champions League to really, you know, we don't know what kind of timelines they have behind the scenes, but I'm pretty sure in the next one or two seasons, the expectation is to go one better than just being the losing finalist. And when he finally does it, though, we're all still going to see it and be like, yeah, but he only did it because he spent 250 million on players. No. Like, do that with Stoke, you know. That's the nature of the
game. But hang on, to be fair, you just pointed out the fact that, you know, he tactical changes, for some reason, we all know he overthinks it. This is when he does get it wrong. So maybe the guys, the hierarchy, are going, listen, let's not give him a reason to botch this. Let's just give him literally everything right now. And even if he decides to have that wobble on the day, we'll still come out right. I mean, Pumalani's saying Messi's definitely going to Man City. Jason's saying City got to the final without a striker. And, I mean, these are both valid points. But I just want to touch on the
Lukaku thing. He didn't
win it. He didn't win it. The Lukaku point. Lukaku. Mm-hmm. Firstly, isn't going to Chelsea a good signing for Chelsea? And secondly,
I mean,
the 20 goals versus zero.
A striker that scores goals is a good signing for Chelsea. Danny Ings would have been a good signing for Chelsea.
I think he would have actually. Think, and that's the thing about Danny Ings, though. If he can stay a fit, he's a quality. I think his goal to shot ratio is quite impressive.
He's got a good instinct. You look at his positioning. You look at his confidence when he does take a shot. He's actually a solid striker. I mean, I joke, but he actually is a. He was someone I know that Spurs were thinking about as a potential to come in and be one of the players that potentially replaces Kane. But. Lukaku to Chelsea, he's a phenomenal striker. He's got a bad rep for whatever reason. People don't rate him the way they rate others. But in a lot of ways, he's very similar to what Drogba was. Big, strong on the ball, really good at hold-up play, quite a deadly finisher, a lot quicker than you think he's going to be because he is the size of a small country. And I think I think in that sense, Chelsea would be, you know, even at 130 million, I think it would really make a difference to Chelsea's season. So they've got to sign him on. If they have the opportunity, they've got to go for it.
But I mean, I don't understand this criticism with Lukaku. Sure, at Man United, the replay the guys, some guys put together, I wouldn't have touched him. But he's obviously
like a trampoline. You pass the ball to him and he'll bounce off him.
That's exactly what it looks like. But it's literally if he had to redeem himself, he's done that. You know, he's proven to people that no, he's still got what it takes. He did it at Everton. Obviously, Man United was in a good spell. Inter done it well, and I think he can do it again. And there's this perception that he's just this hold up player. You know, staying up there. I think maybe later on in his days he would maybe evolve to that sort of player. You know, to prolong his career, but. At the moment, the guy, he's been scoring goals running from the halfway line. I've seen, literally, there's a through ball, he's run onto it, beat defenders, and put it in the back of the net. Left foot, right foot. So I don't know what else you want from him.
Would you then maybe argue that league is inferior to the Premier League?
We'd have to see, because he scored, I'm not too sure how many goals he scored here, we can maybe check it, but, when he was at Everton, defenders were also struggling with him. He was still
maybe
having
it and he also, play. Maybe it just didn't suit him at Chelsea
maybe.
At the time. And maybe
at Everton they wanted him Tuchel, to stay.
Yeah, you got a Tuchel now that can work with a player like him, and maybe 100%.
And the counter attack that these guys play with the quick counter that the Tuchel plays, Lukaku would fit in that 100%. He's willing to run. He's willing to run the whole match, and he can still do it. And again, deadly air, left foot, right foot, hold up play.
Left foot, right foot, everything. Let's go. Two stumps right now.
You can
now.
Do everything with that you want from a striker at the moment.
Dancing on the dance floor there. All right, guys, we've got a couple of minutes left. Now, I just want to say, Jason says he'll take Watkins as a second choice at Liverpool. I actually think that's a decent shot. I think a play like that would develop really well under Klopp. But we're going to end off the show on a big, big one. A big one. One that's going to just, you know, turn things upside down. Yeah.
Before you get there, before you close
it. Newcastle. What's up, Mongo?
Sorry, before that, Lukaku scored at Everton before he left. In 37 matches, he scored 25 goals. Okay. And it's the most in his career. And that was in the Premier League.
I'm going to get down on my knee and I'm going to ask the big question. And as I do that, I'm going to ask it. Then Mongo says, but before you do that, I've got something important. You know, you could have bought your ring at this place.
I mean, you've got to ask the logic. I'm just why would you plan it to have what any of us there when you do that? Like,
content,
you brought that on yourself.
Content,
if you do that, if I you do that in my presence, I'm definitely going to interrupt. Before you do this, don't do this.
I don't know if that's a man speaking from experience or a man just being full of shit. I'm not sure.
No.
Probably the latter.
All right, Nick, Willock to Newcastle. The biggest signing of the summer, £25 million. Is Willock worth it?
Oh, he's definitely worth it in terms of what, if you look at the market, his age being English, for what he did for us at the end of the season. But, yeah, I mean, it's a sad state at our club at the moment. You know, you look at Sky Sports and you look at the transfers in, and we're the only club in the league at the moment with no incomings. And I think we've sold and got rid of four or five players. So I don't understand what's going on. From what I understand, the Willock news has gone a little bit quiet at the moment. So I am, from what I understand, Arsenal want an outright sale. I think he wants to make the move, but I start to second guess it now, because why has it gone quiet? You know, why hasn't he come out and said, listen, make it happen? I also don't know if we're willing to spend the money. You know, we've just got a bunch of palookas running our club and we've got no clue. So if we get him, but you know, we need a lot more than just Willock, to be honest with you. We need a lot more than him.
Yeah.
You know, we ended our friendly.
Oh, shit. This is then. We start speaking about Newcastle and we lose three viewers. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, that's a scam.
I'll be quick. But yeah, no, I hope it happens. We need another centre half. We need another midfielder. We probably need another wide player. And I still think we need another striker. So I don't see it happening. I see us maybe getting one maybe permanent signing, and then we'll dip into the loan market as Steve Bruce does. And yeah, what was quite interesting, just to speak about Steve Bruce for a whole 20 seconds, Wilson came out the other day and he had said that this new guy, Graham Jones, who was assisting Southgate at the World Cup, came in and he's got this sort of, you know, modern way of coaching, and his philosophy and tactics are so good. And his talk about Bruce was that Bruce offers, you know, a whole lot of other things and sort of left it there.
Wait to buy your pies.
yeah.
He gives all the players a lift home after practice.
And so he ended it off like that. And he said, we definitely had that turn of results because of Graham Jones. And it's quite interesting to say. So like, he was just like, yeah, you know, he added to our good form. And you know, the manager just offers a little bit something, a little bit different, you know, something different. So yeah.
That's funny.
Nick's still here for you, Nick.
I think Newcastle are just in a holding pattern until they can finally get the Saudi deal over the line. I don't think Ashley wants to spend any more money. He's just going to keep things as they are. Obviously, he's got to make sure that Newcastle's still in the Premier League, so he'll do just enough to keep you there.
Yeah.
It'll be nerve-wrenching and nail-biting and just not fun for a long time. And the worst thing that could happen is you guys end up getting relegated. It scuppers the whole deal. So I think he's going to just do enough. Get the Willock deal in, like you said, a couple of loans, strengthen here or there. Not enough to challenge, just enough to guarantee survival.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he's been quite content with these court cases being delayed, with just sitting, because I think he knows that once everything's out the way, he will get his money. But the fans are also just saying, like, find another buyer and just get it over the line. You know, obviously we would love the Saudi money, but, you know, there's been an interest from Americans and Canadians in the past. Chinese have come in. You know, like, I don't think you'd struggle to sell it, but obviously this sort of deal is probably quite far down the line, if I'm honest. And I think he's quite content with the delays, because I think he's quite certain he'll get his money. He doesn't want to be there. He's been honest, and he's openly said he's trying to sell the club. So hopefully it happens, and I agree with you, Matt. He's just going to try keep the sort of ball rolling and hopefully
Nick,
we stay in
to
the
what
league
extent and, do you think? And I suppose this is a question to everyone else. Newcastle, they keep going the way they're going. Do they survive this season?
No, so that's the thing, Claudio. You know, we've done this for the last... We've had him for 14 years. We had this same situation when we first got relegated. We fortunately bounced back. We did it again with getting a Steve McLaren, spending £120 million, thinking he's our next saviour. And then we ended up getting relegated. And fortunately, we bounced back again. So this happens every couple of years. So if he's not careful, you know, it could be. You know, there's no, you know, the league table doesn't lie. If you're not good enough, you will be relegated.
Okay, so, but Nick, right now, as things stand,
we're going to be in another battle. You know, we, you know, you guys laughed about it and you said we were, you know, you didn't even have to worry. But if you look at the long parts of that season,
I'm thinking back about all the moments that you said they were getting relegated. I'm just thinking about it. That's live. Yeah. I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah.
No, 100%. So like, if we were in a shit position for a very long time, and you know, yes, it came right at the end. But like all does with teams, you know, luck runs out. And, you know, eventually you're not going to have Jollinton scoring a deflected goal that was going for the corner flag and eventually goes in. Like, it's not always going to happen, unfortunately. So, I think.
You're killing Wonga here.
So, you know, and you know that classic saying, you know, in the Premier League, if you're not improving your squad every season, you're just standing, you're actually not even standing still, you're going backwards.
Yeah, standing still is going backwards.
Yeah, standing still is going backwards. So, I do worry. I do think we will get one or two in, one, two or three. I don't think anything more than that. We're not going to set the league alight. I think our biggest thing is if we can hold on to St. Maximum, keep him injury-free, Almiron injury-free and Wilson injury-free, I think we've got a good chance of, you know, spoiling the party at a few clubs this season, away from home and at home. So, yeah, we'll see. We just have to keep... but what was quite interesting, you know, we were speaking about Grealish and Kane. You know, if they go, that's £200 million. Newcastle are going to be sold for between 300 and 350. So those two players are worth, you know, it's crazy to think.
The money's huge. Yeah, the money's ridiculous. I think on paper, Newcastle have got a squad that should stay up easily. You look at the players they've got on their books. I think what's always let them down, and Nick has pointed it out, you might not have heard it, he doesn't always say it out loud, but I think what's let Newcastle down has been Bruce's tactics. I don't think he doesn't utilize the squad
he's
very well.
He's already kept that to himself.
He has. He's in many ways, he's far too diplomatic about Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
But I think maybe this season he'll speak up. Who knows? I think that's always been the issue. I think that they've got a squad that should be good enough to stay up quite easily. They need a bit more. If they were going to challenge for Europe, they'd need a bit more here and there. But I think they're not a team that should be in a relegation scrap. The fact that they are is more damning of Bruce than the squad. But to Ashley, it makes no difference. You know, 16th is as good as 8th in his book because all he needs is a squad to be in is the club to be in the Premier League, so it doesn't affect his selling price.
If you look at Steve Bruce and the caliber of manager he is, you know, he's been around the block for like a good 20, 25 years, let's call it 20 years. His caliber of type of coach is sort of, it's been siphoned out of the Premier League. There's not many teams with his sort of, you don't have your Sam Allardyce. You got, maybe you could say Sean Dyche. You got Sean Dyche, who's probably a proven survival specialist. But other than that, you've got these new up-and-coming managers who are, you know, different. They're modern. They've got these new ideas. And I just think we are very, very backward in the way we've, you know, even Fulham with Scotty Parker, you know, like, obviously they went down, but he was exciting to watch. You know, obviously good football doesn't always keep you up.
He's not there anymore, by the way.
He's at Bournemouth. But if you look at that type of manager was quite, there was quite a few of them in the early 2000s, even towards the end of the 2000s. I think we've got rid of the last one, the dinosaur OG, Roy Hodgson, recently. But other than that, you've got, it's Steve Bruce, like,
Arsenal are trying to get rid of their dinosaur too.
David Moyes is still there, but he's kind of reinvented himself.
Yeah.
You could have said he was one of that generation, but he seems to have updated his approach to the game and kind of moved on a little
reinvigorated his approach, I think.
Yeah,
I think
definitely. Bruce is still playing the same football he played in 2005, which is no longer, definitely no longer working.
So, I mean, you even look at the teams that got promoted. You know, you've got that exciting manager, the guy with the long hair from Brentford. you know, what's his name? Thomas Frank. He's so enthusiastic on the side of the field. He chews like a cow on the side of the field with his chewing gum. He looks quite exciting. I mean, his sort of approach is nice to watch. And, you know, I'm stuck with Steve Bruce to entertain with his entertainers.
Yeah. I suppose that's the flip side of the coin of the money in football, where you've got an owner like Mike Ashley who really doesn't care about what's going on the pitch as long as he's not losing value in the product he's attempting to sell on to the next owners.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's something we'd want to think about if we were going to inject a few more billionaire owners into the league. How many of them would then start looking at the football as a sideshow to the business rather than the core thing, which, you know, for all the people, the faults that people point at, you know, Abramovich at Chelsea and the guys at City, at least the football is still their core focus. Abramovich, as we know, is very involved in the football and is really excited by it. And I think we don't want to necessarily lose that. Even if your owners are billionaires, you want them to care about the football, which is another thing to think about.
Yep. And on that note, I suppose we might as well finish off with a quick final thought. Wonga Denga, Nick, start out, and then Matthew, let's hear it. What do you guys want to end up with?
I have nothing to say. Just, yes, I mean, I'm just wondering about Arsenal if they actually know who they want. Because every player I see, it's like, oh, he's linked to Arsenal. He's linked to Arsenal. He's linked to Arsenal. No, Arsenal are going to do a swap deal with him. Jeez, we'll end up having no players, I promise you. With all the swap deals we linked to.
But anyways. Shaka is staying. I mean, that's great news.
That's not great news. That's the worst news ever. Goodness
so
me,
my final thought, am I the only one who's thought that Wonga did a Phil Foden hairstyle tonight? I think it's just the light, though. At some angles, I thought you had dyed that
hair. I want to see that. Guys, if you want Wonga to bleach his hair, please drop that in the comments and we'll do our best to convince him.
Yes, that would be awesome.
No worries. If Tottenham beat us next season, I'll push my
That's a very likely...
This coming season. No, this coming season. Yes. Home and away.
If Harry Kane leaves, let's say, and Tottenham beats us, I'll push my head.
Okay, but there's two factors there now. Actually, three.
Like, just beat you once.
I'm saying...
Harry Kane leaves, we beat them once, and they beat you
once. Beat us once. Just beat us once,
What's happening, bro?
Wonga, I don't know, man. I feel like you're going to regret that.
We are this falling.
We'll see. And
then we are falling your hair being bleached.
I don't know. I think, don't get me wrong, Harry Kane is an important player, but if Wonga's saying...
They played in this weekend. But not. I'm not talking about this weekend. I'm just talking about in the league. If he stays...
Yeah, there's more and more terms and conditions coming in this thing. But,
No. It's too late. It has to be in the league. Kane has to not be playing for Spurs and they have to lose. And it doesn't matter home or away. He's bleaching his hair. Gentlemen, get that bleach ready. If someone wants to sponsor that bleach, please do it. They'll send you our address here at Goal Lunch TV. Matthew, what do you want to say? Final thing there.
I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that the transfer rumours have been put to bed. I'm not leaving Goal Lounge. I'm going to be here for the next season. There was a bit of confusion about when I should be back at training, and I apologise to the fans for any heartache I might have caused. I was obviously fined my match day fee, which I'm going to be giving to charity, Bleached Hairs Anonymous or something like that. Good to be back, guys. Looking forward to the new season.
I'm just happy you never got arrested on some Greek island on holidays. protecting your sister or something like that.
My sister can look after herself. She'd be looking after me.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for a fantastic evening. We will be launching a fantasy league, so get those teams ready. We'll be touching on that next week. And yes, you can see we're 8 days away from the Premier League because, you know, viewers came out to rock with us again. So we appreciate that. Thank you very much, guys. I'll see you next week. Have a fantastic one. And remember,
stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember.
Stop it.
I was going to say, be cool.
I was going to say, be cool.
Stop it.